dried out in the dining room.
Yeah, remember that.
Now, how did that water serve today? Did you say? From the storage tank on the roof? Or how did the water?
Well, I suppose the main house is a third tub.
No, it's not.
The tub is in there, but
when I first come, we had an old tin tub. Uh-huh. It was kind of galvanized or something.
Yeah.
It was a long tub, but it was not
porcelain.
Well, there wasn't any hot burning water in your house when you came up here.
No. We had to heat it on the stove.
Yeah, well, there was
here, dog, give up.
There was a toilet in the bathroom. There was a toilet.
No
toilet.
I see. We had an outside
pan. So the bathroom consisted of the tin tub.
Yeah. Just the tub.
That's just because you could take a bath.
And then they heated the water and put it in the
bathroom.
Because there was right next to the kitchen.
Or the little kitchen.
It had a stove right there.
Yeah.
There's a chimney hole area.
Yeah.
And they had a stove, and then they heat the water and turned into the bathroom. And well, they had fur and bread. There's another brother. Three children, I guess.
Oh, but he
loses his head. Yeah.
Now, I told you, I think I read you the letter that I got from a woman ordering a calendar, and she said that she was Fred Leakey's daughter.
Oh, yes.
And she, so the Fred that you bought it from would be his granddaughter.
Yes, would be.
As she said, her father was born in 1892 or 17. But she referred to her folks' place in the Soma, the one that later sold to the Ibex.
Now, that was the Soma they called it?
Yeah, now did you ever hear from Paul that area, that end of town called
well,
the Soma?
When you go on that day, you go down the track.
Did you ever get the train there? Because that would have been pretty close to your place. But up there just
We walk through our place. When we first come, remember that old time that used to be down here?
Okay. Yeah.
That was one of the first people we saw when we come here. He came down there, he had boots on up to his knees.
Yeah.
And he come by there and walking through to get over to our pasture and then over to the summer station to go to play.
Where would he come from? He lived right down.
Well, he'd walk up from Parkland.
And he'd walk up from Parkland. Why would he catch up there? He lived right on the.
Yep, but bus train didn't stop down there for.
I don't know.
And he lived at the Speaks house. He was right there.
Maybe he wanted to see who got.
Yeah, maybe he was visiting.
Maybe he was curious about who lived in there now or something. I don't know. He only did that once.
So he'd walk across your field.
He walked through there. And then there was an old lady named Sarah. She was a retired person. Lived over there in the woods. Well, her manuals used to live over there. It was shack over there. Mrs. Luthy would give her all her old hats with flowers on them. She was one that walked through too.
Yeah.
And we'd never seen her before. And she was retarded, but we thought, well, what kind of people live around here? Chinamen? This retarded person.
Oh, now when you first came there.
And she had an old stove, you know, and she picked up woods around in the woods, so she hid in the woods. And she, her face was always smoked up black, you know, from the smoke from the stove, I guess. And she got killed, though. She used to walk over there by the bridge to go to Tigers, you know, there before you get to Tigers. That park there, there's a park there,
yeah.
And there's a bridge. And she's going across the road there and got here. Her sister was working for those people in that big house on the side of the road. I forget what their names were.
Is her name Joseph?
I don't remember the names of the people, but she was working for them. She'd go over to see her sister and she got here to kill her.
And you don't remember Sarah's last name?
No. I think she's a German person. They always call this guy.
Is it Quackenbush?
It was a Quackenbush house that sister worked for. Yeah, that's
okay.
That is it.
That's it. It's a thing. Yeah. You don't remember a place called the Trinity.
Now, one thing I want to ask you about is your brother Carl. I've always heard a lot of colorful stories about him.
Yeah, he was a colorful guy.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, he was the oldest one of the 10 of us. And when we lived in Silverton, I don't know how it come that my aunt bought that place for him. I forget how many acres it was. Was it 5 or 10 acres?
I think
it was 10 acres.
Where was this one?
Right over here.
Here. Oh, okay.
That red little.
Okay, Dunbar Road.
The house was still there.
Yeah.
Manhole.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that red building there is the house he built there.
Well, he built that.
Yeah. And he lived there with Tara. And they cleared the land. My sister Zelda came to live with us. You see, she had divorced her husband. They lived up there by Hebo. And Max turned out to be not a very nice man. And she and Alex came down to live with Carl. Because Tara left him and went down to Los Angeles back to her family, I guess. And so they cleared a lot of that land. It was dumps and everything. And they had a thing, a horse, they had a thing on it, and they'd pull the stumps out and going around like that, you know. They'd cut off the roots and put them in and go around like that and pull it out. And she worked there and helped him and lived with him and took care of the cooking and everything. And when Clara was with him, she had a, guitar, you know. She liked to play and have fun, you know, and go to dances and stuff like that. Carl wasn't much for that. And so I remember Clara and I and your grandpa,
Julia.
Yeah, we was all going in the Model T to Oswego to a dance. And when we was going, one of my tires got flat, I guess, and the tire had come off. And it rolled up the road ahead of the car. Your grandpa was laughing. He thought it was a rabbit. I don't know how we ever got it fixed and on to dance, but he liked to go to those things too.
Now that's interesting, because Hiller didn't dance.
No.
So you then and your brother and
well, I don't know where it runs over there, but maybe.
Well,
it's
nice. Something to do.
Yeah. But Tara, she wasn't the type to be a farmer's wife, really.
Yeah.
And anyway,
my Uncle Carl was on the Etsy cutter and one day.
That's one of the
Tell about that.
What happened to Carl?
Now, Carl worked for Eagles, and he walked all the way over to Eagles.
During the depression, he walked over there to work for them. $30 a month. Dollar a day. Wouldn't that be something?
Big pay.
People won't believe that anymore. And take his lunch. Well, they were cutting this inch bridge, and it wasn't going in fast enough to suit him. You know, you put the corn up there on this thing, a rolling thing, and you roll it into the blades, you see, to cut it. And he got up there, and he was stomping down on it, and I guess he slipped some way, and he slid his feet in and cut his feet cut. His leg cut one up about that far, and the other one is his leg.
So both feet.
Yeah. Both legs, like 40 miles
away. Ooh.
Oh,
well, then he had those wooden feet that you were all
over there.
And he got so he could ride the tractor, you know, drive around the tractor. He got a tractor.
Hmm. Now, could he walk?
Did he, well,
yeah.
I guess he walked some with a cane, you know.
But he couldn't walk back and forth feet up in there.
No.
No,
no. No, they had no car?
No.
No. No. He used to use his tractor things. Mm-hmm. And then he had a little dog. They had little sit on the seat beside him when he'd drive along, you know. And the little dog wanted to sit by the seat beside him. Bella said he used to come by the school up there. She's way there.
Did he have any children?
He had one boy, Harold. But he was retarded. He did go to school down here and everything, but I don't know what happened to him. I think that he went for some other guys and they were stealing chickens or something. And got hit with buckshot. And he got infection in it. He died from that.
Oh. Well, Uncle Carl used to help Mrs. Wolf out too. He's very normal. He'd always take food down there and over out of his garden.
Oh.
Muriel's probably there.
Muriel comes to see her one day.
Yeah, Muriel Wolf.
Yeah,
that was her.
Yeah, oh yes. Now they lived, she lived in a house just across from the church.
The house.
Yeah, but then it's
hot. Yeah, I know she used to go and work for the Sikhs.
Or maybe.
Mrs. Wolf lived there? Yeah, for a while they lived there. They lived in down that little square house on this side of Hannigan's lived there.
Oh, that's
in that
street,
and it lived in that room there. I know I used to send Carl's the tractor down there lots of times.
I see.
Across there, he'd go and take the beans and take the carrots and take the stuff out of the garden, you know, because Muriel, she told me, she said if it hadn't been for your Uncle Carl, he'd gone hungry many a time.
Yeah.
But he used to bring food down there for us.
Yeah, she was a widow with several.
So
Warren
and Muriel and
Bonnie.
Bonnie.
Well, what happened to Carl
Theobald? Well, he got pneumonia.
And his legs were off, so Aunt Sal kept taking care of him.
She could take. She helped him put his legs on in the morning and helped him, you know.
She was still living with him.
Yeah,
she lived over in that house.
She lived with him until he died.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. And then you see, after she died, eventually another place to live.
Well, you see, Eva, his daughter.
Eva,
remember?
Eva was
Carl's
daughter. Yeah.
Oh. And she was down in the. See, he was married to a woman named Anne first. But he married down in Arizona. And Anne was Eva's mother. And then they separated. Then he married Clara. And Anne never lived up here in this place, on this farm. They lived down in the, right across the border there. Of Mexico, you know. But, you know,
okay.
So they lived down there. And Carl had a boy named Lyle, and that he died. He had the measles, and then he had Eva. That's his only two kids, and that other boy was Clara's child, that Harold. So then Eva, after Carl died, then Eva and Emmett came up here, you see, and she inherited the place. So she and Emmett took over there.
Yeah, I remember her. I used to go buy eggs for her.
They first come up, though, they worked. He rented a house up there from Avery's first. Remember when Eve and Emmett lived up there and they used to work on Peach Mountain? Emmett and Dad used to go
they cut wood.
That's where they worked first, you know. They lived in that big house by Avery's.
Oh, yeah.
because I'd come home from Fallon.
Yes,
I'd come home from Fallon, and I'd go and stop off up there and see Bobby. He'd just been born, he was just a little bit, you know, in the fifth there. He'd been born there in Mary Lou. And then I'd come for on a home to our place, okay? But we didn't have a
in
car.
Your bicycle?
Yeah.
We didn't have a car.
But I was proud. I could go in there. I think that on credit to you. Everybody else, be charged. Charged. WPA, charged. I was proud. I could say, take it out on credit. They had to sell eggs and tomatoes and stuff like that.
Well, during the Depression, James, did a lot of people get relieved? A lot of people get help from the government? Or
no.
Well, I think they did tell us.
I think so too.
They must have. At some kind of
well, hamsters, because some of them lost time, they'd get oranges, I know, when we couldn't afford to buy them. I didn't like that. I told Dad, you ought to get some.
You're not supposed to be interviewing.
Well, I think I agree with Jane. I think that there were a lot of people that got run relief wherever the term was. But it was that
they got some kind of food or something.
Yeah. It wasn't the kind of thing you wanted to talk much about. It was a kind of a shameful thing. But there were so many hard up families here.
Oh, yes. They were heavy
hard. Yeah.
And a lot of them without breadwinners
and family and all. Tough time.
Did you ever have bums not so long ago?
There were people coming. So many people were out of work. The men were hunting for dogs.
Yeah.
And they'd right over by the Soma station out there. They had a jungle, what they call it.
Oh,
you know, a place where they got together.
Hobo camp.
And they would go around to different farms and places to get stuff to eat. Now maybe they'd come to our place, I'd give them some eggs or something. Somebody else would give them some potatoes or something else or some meat or something. They'd go back there together and then they'd cook it up, you see, over there. And they weren't harmful men,
no,
you know.
No,
they'd do a little work. Now, I'd have to chop a little wood for me or something, you know, in the wood chips for the cook. Because I had a wood stove, you know, to cook on. And I had to have small pieces. And they'd always offer to do something, you know. We had a little thing to do. And one time in Portland, when I was traveling around selling those eggs in the town, there was a man asked me for some money, you know. And I said, I don't have any money, but I'll give you a dozen eggs. So he took the eggs. And the next time I went down there, a woman that I delivered eggs to, she said that man was going to try to sell that day. Probably was going to go and buy him some beer or something. So I never give him any more eggs.
Ivac Road, did that go all the way through to?
No.
I thought not.
It just came to our place.
Okay.
And it was a kind of a little crooked road, you know, winding there. And we went down there and it was always muddy. And one time we had there was a basket source or something at the school. And we was all loaded up in them, volunteers, with the kids and all dressed up and everything. And we got out there and got stuck in the mud. And we couldn't go. So we all had to go back to my house. Wait till the next day and get it out of there. And I think it had a flat tire. That was what made it so bad, too. Maybe it had a flat tire at the time.
And the Helenius Road came up past Helenius' place off of the summer. I think Harry Haney said that he and his dad helped lay the road, and it finally came up and met Ivac Road.
Well, let me see. Ivac Road had gone in later, you see. Yeah, we gave him popped the cones and one fell off that land up there. Yeah. We gave him a little piece of ground off of our place all along to make the road through there, to that popped the cones.
they wanted to sell that off, you see, and they would improve the road for us by giving us, we'd give them that little piece of ground back of there to make the road to that other place. And then when the WPA built that other road coming through, you see, then it hit our road. Before then, there was no road through there.
See, so you couldn't get from your place to say the Soma Station.
No, we couldn't drive down and go around that.
No.
So
that was in the 30s that the roads got connected.
Must have been.
Yeah, I
don't remember the time, but
it was probably, let's see, I can remember when that would get in back then.
Yeah.
Do you
remember?
Yeah. See, I was born 27, so I had to be at least 6, 7 years old. I must have been about 32 or 33 or something like that.
So, Mr. Nyberg was the one that fixed our road, too.
Did he have the gravel?
He straightened it out. He was a
roadmaster
to the county.
That's right.
County roadmaster. He was a Mr. Nyberg. And so he straightened the road out and put gravel and everything on, you see. Went through there.
That was a big improvement. Before that, it was just a dirt road.
Well, then the mail went down, too, you see, then. We used to have to go clear up to the corner there by the highway to get our mail. And then when we got the road through, and the mail comes through, the milkman come down, and see, that way it made it better for us.
Oh, lucky.
Well,
so you took the milk not just from the barn up to the road, but the barn all the way up to the highway.
Well, sometimes it's so muddy, you know. And there was one time in Stowe, Dad and I carried the can up there. He got on one side and I did on the other side, slipping and sliding, and got up there to the road.
How many gallons in those big cans?
That's 10 gallons. Think of the weight of that. It was heavy. Slipping sliding. So the next day, he made a sled. And he hitched the horses on.
Sure.
But that was a sudden snowstorm, see. And we weren't prepared for that.
But normally he wouldn't carry the pole on a sled. He'd have the horses draw something, take the cans and milk up to the highway.
He had that cart, you know. That.
And he'd just push it by hand.
Yeah, he pushed that by hand.
And the horse up there. Well, how many cans?
Well, about 2 cans on there. Sometimes 1 can if the cows were dry or something.
Well, you could skim milk and you take the cream into pork. You have that separator.
Well, I used to sell milk out of my refrigerator, 60 cents a gallon. After I got that refrigerator, you know, the people back of us there, I had those gallon jars, you know, to do it on. And I'd fill them full of fresh milk and put them in the refrigerator, and they'd come home from work. They'd stop by and get their gallon milk. And it would be about that much cream on it, you know. There's no cream on milk anymore.
Mabel and Mike, did they buy some of you?
Well, the Shermans did up there.
Yeah, we sold that. See, Herb and I used to keep friends delivering it. And it was, I think, 10 or 15 cents a quart.
Put out there,
$6 a gallon.
Did you have that mentioned?
I do.
I was telling you, thinking over there at Fred Meyer and Tiger. Oh. We didn't have, we had a refrigerator front, I think, but we just kept the eggs in the cold north room, as cool as it was. And we wait until maybe there's a month's supply and several weeks, I mean, maybe about a month, but like several weeks to the store. And I guess the customer asking the store man to pick them up, are they fresh? Oh, that's right, just made today from the farm. But they're fresh enough.
Sometimes
he's laying in the store quite a bit. I'm sure. Oh, it's an interesting life. Do you remember, now, you were active in the school, PTA and
things? Yeah, you, your mother and I,
yeah. Yeah, so you would walk to your meeting. Yeah, you'd walk to the meeting. And they'd have me ask me. Did you walk?
Oh, I forget whether you did or not. Maybe I had the Model T.
That's true.
But they used to have programs in that old gym, you know. Mm-hmm. Remember that? I know you sang one time there.
Yeah.
I played with you again.
Yeah, I did.
And
can you remember?
I remember one time your mother and I were back in that room there for Bible. They used to give the 8th grade kids a lunch or something. Up there, you know, when you graduate.
Okay.
And they had a long table there, and we were in the back there. And we were, I don't know what we were doing, putting stuff out there on the table or something. But anyway, we were in there, and every once in a while we'd look our head, stick our head and stick around looking out there at the people, you see. And I said to her, I said, it must look interesting to those people out there to see a head popping out of one's mouth. And we got to laugh at them. They're thinking how those people see those heads coming out of one's mouth.
Well, I just recently read the minutes from PTA, and it seems to me like PTA was always planning some kind of a fundraiser, some kind of around food, dinners, and things like that.
Well, I suppose they need a little money. Mm-hmm. Now, who was the, that man that was superintendent of their school?
Well, Luce was the principal, and then there was Krause.
Oh, that's why I was trying to take his name.
Yeah, that's
correct. Krause.
Yeah.
He came to the meeting one time, and he wanted to build a new school, see. And I think he and your grandpa got to talking about it, you know. So.
Her grandpa?
Yeah,
this is a school.
And Mrs. Blank.
Now you're talking about school being a PTA meeting?
One of the Grange.
The Grange was nice.
The Grange school.
Oh, and Krause came to talk to the Grange about a school?
But it didn't materialize. Yeah. I guess nobody wanted to come up with the money.
Well, they did finally, in 1939.
Yeah.
But they reorganized the school district then, the process. Mm-hmm.
But Phyllis, you went to school in the basement down there, didn't you? That big square school?
Yeah, when I first and second grade, you know, we were down there.
In the basement?
Yeah.
Blank.
Yeah, well, there was that big old big furnace down there. We'd go down there,
really?
And that's where we'd hang up our jackets and put our clothes. They'd always warm us up there.
But you didn't have a classroom in there.
Yeah, we had a classroom down there. It was nice and warm down there. And first and second grade, I think, was down in there.
So the first and second grade.
And then they put us out back of that big gymnasium.
Yeah, that's where the first grade classroom was.
Yeah, that's where we went out there then, later.
Later.
Mm-hmm. So we used to have class down there in the basement there. And then after we were there, then we went over into the old school, you know, after they took the great high school and went to Sherwood.
Yeah.
And then we were in that school until the last two grades, the 7th and 8th, I was in that big brick school.
Oh, yeah.
School.
Yeah.
I went there, the 7th and 8th grade. You graduated out of that.
I was in college.
Moved out of the bigger, out of that old school. Yeah.
You were in St. Cousin Larry, did you know me?
No, Larry was below me.
Below
you? Yeah, he was.
He was younger than me.
Quite a few years. drove.
That's right, we weren't saying, yeah.
Yeah, he wants to drive.
Darwin, that's right, yeah. Yeah, Darwin started when, yeah.
I don't know, Darwin was talking to him and Larry, and Larry got
to
grade school in 42.
Yeah. Well, he'd be younger then.
I remember the last school, we used to always have a big potluck, you know, in the gymnasium. They have long tables, you know, food and everything. And then they have a ball game or something out there.
Remember that they had a little kitchen off the gym. They just the, as you went into the gym,
oh,
that was
yeah.
The room that was, where the food was prepared.
Well, there was a little room right off of the stage part.
There. Yes. That was the first first secondary classroom.
Oh. Well, that's where we were.
Yeah.
In there, looking out.
I don't remember, you remember potluck dinners in the old gym, do you?
I don't remember. Yeah, there was bring food down there and they had long tables and everything. And everybody would eat, I guess, the parents and all.
Did you bring your own dishes, plates, and silverware, or did you feel that?
No, I don't think so. I think they must have let it in there.
They didn't have a country. I don't know. We had that cafe. They only give a soup for dinner, you know. The farmers would all contribute food. You know, Nivers would give onions and somebody else would give carrots. And you know, that WPA women cook a big bowl of soup there for dinner for us.
School lunch?
Yeah. We'd go along there and we'd always get that hot bowl of soup at lunch. Down the basement.
Yeah,
where they cook. Well, I don't remember that.
In the basement?
Yeah, in the old, down the old school.
Yeah, we took kitchen in the basement.
Yep, there were some women down there that worked down in there and cooked the meat and all that.
According to Arlene, Evelyn Andrews, Mrs. Heimbach would cook the soup. They would bring it up.
Maybe
it was there. Yeah, I have a recollection of that, but I can't think of it.
But we did get free lunch, free hot bowls.
Yeah.